Thank you, Pastor. It is good to be here today with you. You have made me feel very, very welcome, both of us very, very welcome, getting acquainted with what God is doing in your lives here in the Brooklyn area.
I've got one more thing here that I wanted to show you, and I'm also going to ask my wife to come up, and we're going to share with you in the Ewe language the common greeting. In Africa, you do not just say hi to somebody and move on. Yesterday, I really enjoyed you. We were out on the street here, and people would walk by, and you just greeted everybody. I was very impressed. That was very, very nice. But that was also a very, very short greeting. Because in Togo, you don't just greet somebody and say bye. You greet and you greet and you greet and you greet and you ask lots of questions. Especially on Sunday morning, you're going to church. We don't have strict starting times in Africa. You start when everybody's there and ready to go. But we do try to start as much as possible on time. Because if you don't, you're going to be there a long time on Sunday. And so when you see somebody coming, you want to be sure that you do the greetings quickly and as efficiently and as effectively as possible, but they still take time. So I'm going to demonstrate never be in a hurry to get to church because you're going to meet somebody. You're going to be even later. So if I were coming down the street and I see Madame. Oh, Madame. Oh, indeed. Affirmative. Oh, Davy Aude. Davy Nene La Siwa.
Davy Ameve La Siwa.
Oh, Davy Nene La Nene?
Ameve.
Ameve.
Ah.
What film called there?
Yamisi F.N. Kanye Melissa.
Aha, Melissa.
Lutsuvi F.N. Kanye Bradley.
Ah, oh, Bradley. Epo football.
Oh, Epo football. Yeah.
Oh, fine. In your, Tavio, Akbe. Hey, Alain Wade.
Oh, Alain Melio.
Melio, Nukajo.
Oh, Ronye Ekbe.
Yao.
Yao.
Oh, Baba. Ame, I'm Menu. Kake, Alain, okay, le Nene le Asiwa. Nene, zero.
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 Oh, Menu. Bon, Enyo. My churchy. My churchy.
My.
When you why are you churchy? Oh, fine. I'm not churchy. Yo. Akpe se ya. Oh, what is wrong? Whoa. Nye. Oh. Then you akpe, akpe. Yo, miaga dogo se ya. Yo. Miaga dogo.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. So we had a little bit of a, you know, I know things that you don't think you're talking about, but yeah, okay. So you have to greet people very carefully, cautiously, and you definitely want to be exuberant about it because this is their time to greet you, to get acquainted with you. So if you're in a hurry to go to church, it's not going to happen. You're going to be late like everybody else. So what did I say? Let me ask you this. Did you pick up any words? Football, children, how many children? Two. And what were their names? Melissa, Bradley. And if you were there yesterday, you probably heard that. Yes, we have two children, Melissa and Bradley. Melissa's the older. Bradley's our son. And what does Bradley like to do? He likes to play football. In Togo, they play football, not American. That's the bad word. Football. I asked her also how many animals she has, because people have animals. None. Correct. She has none. Why? Because her husband doesn't want her to have any. She was telling me, her husband doesn't want any animals at home. We don't have any animals. I refuse, yeah. What else did we talk about? Yes, we are married. Oh, okay, so that's why we're going. But we're going to church together. Did you hear churchy? Yes, churchy. Churchy is an English version of their way of just saying going to church. And that's from Ghana. People in Ghana would say churchy very commonly over there, English based. So. All right, so that's our greetings in the Ewe language. It's got three tones, okay? Three tones. And those tones can go up or down, down and up. and there are what, 6 letters of the alphabet that you don't have in English. So we have to learn their sounds. You don't know them because we don't learn them. And then we create words with those same letters that create sounds that are different. And Hebe is not a really tough language. There are some that are really, really difficult to learn. But it's tough on American ears. And we're lazy. Let's face it, we're lazy. We just like to slur all of our words together. You can't do that in Hebe. You've got to be distinct. Otherwise, you could be talking about a person in third person rather than first person, which is a higher tone or a lower tone. Now, we have one other thing that I wanted to do with you folks, because we do live in Africa. I know a lot of people think, oh, the animals, wild animals, all kinds of things there, right? Yeah, we do have some, but in Togo, there's very, very few. If it walks and runs around, it's probably edible. So they'll probably kill it and eat it, including rats and mice. Anything else, okay? Because it's meat, and we respect that in their culture. But we do have some that we want to share with you about that we stay away from. I need 2 volunteers, and they've got to be under the age of 15. Oh, I see 2 right here. Would you like to be volunteers for me? I've got something here with me that I want you to help me with, all right? So if you one get over here and the other one right here. All right, I'm going to stand between you. If you'll scoot over there just a little ways. I want to give you the tail. Can you take the tail? And I want you to go that way with it. And I'm going to give you the rest of it, and you unfold it for me. Would you do that? Just, okay, she's going to walk that way. Let her walk. Go ahead. And there we go. Keep going. Keep going. There you go. There we go. So we have here a python snakeskin. Okay, we're still not done. Still unraveling. And this is very, very good. Thank you, ladies. You're doing good. Hold it tight. Oh, no, no, no. We're not done yet. Here we go. So this is a python. Now, pythons are not dangerous. They just want to be your friends. Okay? They like to wrap themselves around you and love you to death. They're not poisonous, okay? They're not poisonous. If they bite you, yeah, you'll have a puncture wound, but they're not going to kill you with their bite. They will kill you by loving you to death. So we're going to demonstrate that this morning, and I need you to pull it tight, hold it tight. There you go, 2 hands, yeah. He won't bite you, remember? That's the tail, too. Young lady, you come right here. You hold on to it, okay? And then I want you to start turning around in circles. We're going to wrap it around you. Yep, go around. Turn around now. Hold it. Now wrap. Wrap there. Wrap it. Wrap it. Keep going. He's loving her. Oh, this is going to be a good one. He can't wait. Oh, this is a big, juicy one. Oh, my goodness, yes. And by this time, he has squeezed all the air out of her. She cannot breathe anymore. And what happens when you can't breathe? You die. Exactly right. That's how pythons work. They capture their prey. They wrap themselves around it, squeeze them, squeeze them, squeeze them. They can't breathe anymore. And then you know what he does? He unravels himself. Okay? He unravels himself all the way because she's no more a danger, a threat. And then, wait a minute. Here comes the good part. And then he swallows her whole. He swallows the victim's whole. All right. You all did such a great job. Very, very much. What is your name? It was Joanna. You're now, never mind. Okay, and your name is? Jocelyn, thank you, Johanna and Jocelyn, very much. Just give them a hand. Now, ladies, aren't you glad I didn't pick on you? Okay. Again, these are just some of the things that we have to watch out for. We do have pythons. We do have many, many, many venomous snakes in Africa, and people are bitten by venomous snakes and are not given the chance to go through that kind of a thing. They usually die. because venomous snakes will kill, because very few people have access to health care where they can get a shot or shots of antivenin and recover from a venomous snake bite. Now, our hospitals there in Togo see a lot of people because of snake bites. So let's pray for our doctors and our nurses and our staff as they see these, so they can treat them quickly, effectively. So let's just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here this morning. And Pastor told me I have all day. So that's very African, right? We don't count on eating lunch on time, because they love to meet and greet people and see villagers and friends that walk long distances many times to churches. Very few have cars. Some have motorbikes or bicycles. But most people walk to our churches to worship and fellowship together. Now, that tells me something, though. For a church planner, if I'm going to be planting churches in a town, say, of 40, 50,000 people, and they only walk maximum 2 miles, maybe, effectively, and are going to consistently walk that to church to be a member of a church, that means that I've got to plant a lot more churches, right? Because you probably draw from, what, a radius of several miles. Several miles, people can come either by train or bus or car. You get here. But in Africa, many of these churches, people have to walk to those churches. So they're not going to walk from far away. I would say 2 miles is max. Maybe you wouldn't even want to do that. I don't know. But that would be, meaning that we have a radius of about 4 miles there that we would have to plant a church every 4 miles. Does that make sense? That means a lot more churches. We need a lot more pastors. We need a lot more missionaries to go and minister to these people, even in these communities where the gospel has yet to be penetrated. Let me pray and ask the Lord to guide our time together here. Father, thank you for this morning, just the opportunity to share about the Open Initiative. I pray, Lord, that you would guide our hearts and open our hearts to the opportunities, to the needs, to the absolute incredible opportunity out there in the world, and maybe in our own neighborhood, our own neighbors. I pray that you would just open our eyes to those people who need the gospel. Help us to do everything we possibly can. In Jesus' name, amen. This time we're going to see a video, and then I'll continue.
It's daunting to consider pioneering the good news of Jesus in a closed country. There's a tension between the restless conviction to go and the sense of feeling overwhelmed, uncertain of your next steps. At ABWE, we've launched the Open Initiative to help ordinary people be faithful to God's extraordinary call to go to closed countries and unreached peoples. We want to help you overcome the barriers you might be facing by providing training, strategy, and the support needed to go and share the good news of Jesus. Over the next 7 years, we plan to send 7 teams to 7 strategic places throughout the world that have little or no gospel presence. And we believe God is calling a generation to go, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to love, serve, and tell those who have never heard His name that there is a God who loves them deeply and wants to make Himself known to them. It is possible for you to help open a closed country to the gospel. And if God's calling you to go, we're ready to help you get there.
Our Open Initiative that we talked about in Sunday school, if you were here, is very important to us because it is a large group of people, like we mentioned, right? A third of the world's population. That's what we're focusing on now. All these other fields and ministries are ongoing. the Hope Radio in Togo where the Drakes serve. You support them. That's ongoing. And it's also a tool that we can use to reach the Fulani, because in that region of Hope Radio, there are Fulani have little transistor radios. And so they can listen to the gospel if they understand one of the languages that's being talked about on Hope Radio. One of the things in Hope Radio that I didn't mention during our Sunday school hour is a little tiny thing that has transformed the opportunities to share the gospel with people wherever they are. And that is the SIM card. You guys who are technical, you understand what that is. In every cell phone, there's a SIM card. That little tiny card that you can put into your cell phone makes it work, makes it function. I don't understand how it all works. SIM cards are simply a little card that has a lot of information on it. So what we do in reaching some of these difficult people, Muslims who don't want to be seen talking to missionaries or pastors or Christians, they will receive a SIM card that they stick into their cell phone, and they can go out into the farm or at home or someplace and listen to the Bible. They can listen to messages being preached. They can learn to sing songs that bring joy to their hearts. It's all on the SIM card. So I'm encouraged by the fact that there are new technologies out there that we're using to impact people who are otherwise not going to listen. They're not going to greet you. They're not going to come up to you. They're just going to ignore you. And we give them away free, so that there's no reason for anybody to worry about it. We're just giving them. And very inexpensive today. Now, here in America, we still give out tracts. They're not as acceptable as a SIM card or something that's digital. But tracts are very valuable. And in Africa, tracts are very valuable. They love to receive a tract. Anything that they can put in their hands and read, they love to have it. So getting the gospel out in these different formats is a great way to impact people with the good news of Jesus Christ. They do it on their own leisure time. They don't have to have a preacher stand up in front of them and preach at them. And we do that. But they can do it in their own private homes or out in the fields, wherever they are. We're talking a little bit about ABWE, our mission agency, and our philosophies. Our president talked about the Open Initiative and why we want to do that. I want to review with you today just five principles that we're going to apply to missions today. And we're going to do something a little different here. We're going to be more culturally correct, because if this is Togo, the preacher usually doesn't read the verses. And I heard people today quoting scripture or reading scripture beautifully, so I know you can do it. So today I'm going to ask you if someone will just stand up where you are and read the verses that I would normally read for you. Let's make it culturally acceptable for me. My wife and I, we love Togo. You've got to read the verses for me, okay? It helps me get my thoughts ready for the next point. Five values that we place on missions today. We talk about being a mission that we go to the nations. We're not a mission that only stays here in the United States. And there are needed areas here in the United States. Among the Mormons, we need missionaries to go to the Mormons. We need people to go and live among communities like here in the bigger New York area and be missionaries to the people around us. But ABWE wants to focus on going to the nations, and that includes Jamaica and Martinique and Puerto Rico and all these countries in the Caribbean, Africa as well. And we mobilize teams to live among the nations for a Great Commission ministry, the Great Commission, the sending out of gospel bearers. That's our ministry. The Lord Jesus sent out the early missionaries. We want to be involved in that. Our ministry philosophy is rooted in these five values. Number one, we obediently go to the nation. We don't resist God's calling in our lives. We don't say, well, no, wait a minute, God, we got to negotiate this a little bit. We got to figure out what's best for me and my family. If God calls us to go to the nations, we obediently go. We have to start at that high level. Yes, there might be circumstances, there might be reasons why you can't go. I think God already knows those. But we have to be obedient when He calls us to go. We need to say, all right, I am going. When God called us into missions, it wasn't He called me because my parents were missionaries. He called me, He called my wife to be missionaries. We had to be obedient in going to the nations. Read for me Matthew chapter 9. Very familiar verses about missions today. Matthew 9, 35 to 38, and someone else, Acts chapter 13, 1 through 4. Anybody?
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest.
Thank you. I heard a voice, but I couldn't see you, so I moved over here so I could see you. Thank you very much for reading that. How about Acts chapter 13, 1 through 4?
Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus.
Thank you. I didn't hear anything there about Paul and Silas arguing with God. I didn't see any negotiating in there about, you know what, in 2 years I'll be ready to go, or once my children graduate from college, then I'm ready to go. They answered the call right there. Did you read that? Did you hear that? It wasn't something that was a long period of time developing in their hearts and minds. They obeyed the call immediately and left. The church got behind them, laid their hands on them, and sent them to serve. So there's that obedience to go to the nations now. Not something we negotiate and deal with God on. He calls. Let's go. I'd much rather have God calling me to go and serve in Togo or in some other country than for me to make up my own mind and say, well, I think I'll pick this other country. I go without that blessing of having God's call upon my life and being obedient to His call. I'm doing it in my own power, in my own flesh. It's not going to work. If you know someone who God's really working in their life, encourage them to be obedient to God's calling in their life. The second value that we have is that we strategically prioritize, get this, evangelism, discipleship, church planting, and leadership development. Did you hear anything about hospitals in there? Hear anything about hospitals in there? No. Did you hear anything about fixing cars? Did you hear anything about farming in there? So we prioritize, that's the highest level of what we are expecting ourselves to be doing. That is missionaries with ABWE. We prioritize evangelism. We want to give out the gospel. We want to give out tracts. We want to give out SIM cards. We want to invite people to church. We want to talk to people in their homes about the Lord Jesus Christ. We target discipleship. When people do come to Christ, we want them to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. We want them to be developing their spiritual life under the power of the Holy Spirit in their life and see that infect their own family and others around them. So we prioritize evangelism, discipleship, and then church planting. That's bringing these disciple believers together, whether it's 2 or 3 or 15 or 20 or whatever, we bring them just like you folks today. This is church planting. We're still planting this church. It's still growing and it's not done yet. Okay? There's still many more people that need to come and join you in this church plant. This is a growing church. Don't let it become a dead church. Church planting and leadership development. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you have a church like this, you have a pastor. He's been well trained. You have lay leaders who have been well trained. You have others who have studied the Word of God and you're growing in your knowledge of the Word of God. We need to continue to train leaders, not just for this church, because, brother, you and I aren't going to be around forever. The Lord tarries, somebody's got to take our place. And so we need to be preparing new, younger leaders to come and lead in these churches that are being planted. How do we do that? We train. We teach them from God's Word. Bible Institute's a great way to go where you don't have maybe a Bible college to go to. A Bible Institute in Brooklyn might be a great thing to have. Maybe there is one that some of you folks ought to consider enrolling in and learning and preparing yourself to be a leader in this church or in other churches. Wherever God leads you, be a leader. And so we're looking for men and women who will be trained in leading the study of God's Word and helping churches grow. Pastors need to be trained. They're not all trained. In fact, I forget the percentage, but it's a very, very low percentage number of men who call themselves as pastors who have had no training. But they call themselves pastors. Men of God, but they have had no training. They probably have a hard time walking through the Bible. Now don't let that happen here. You folks, follow your pastor. You men, especially, be willing to be taught and get training so that you can be a leader in the local church. So that's evangelism, discipleship, church planting, and leadership development. This can be found, we read this in Matthew 28, somebody will read that for me, verses 18 and 20. And then also 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. That's Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Somebody will read those verses for me.
Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also.
And Paul gave us that example of even his relationship with Timothy as a young man. He poured himself into Timothy. Timothy became a very well-known, followed after leader, Bible leader, church leader in his day. Who is there that we're raising up today for the next generation? That's our challenge as a church. We need to constantly be training young men, young women to be leaders in the local church. So we obediently go to the nations. We prioritize evangelism, discipleship, church planting, and leadership development. Those are values that we hold as missionaries. Now I said, did you hear about hospitals in there? No, you didn't. But are hospitals bad? No. I want to tell you about those in just a minute here. Let's go to our third value that we hold to. We acknowledge our dependency upon the Lord by praying, trusting the sufficiency of Scripture, exercising faith, and applying biblical missional best practices. Now that kind of is a broad statement of all these other things that we hear about missionaries doing, like hospitals, schools, blind schools, starting orphanages. These are the things that we can practice, we can demonstrate through the dependence upon the Lord, trusting in His sufficiency to meet the needs of people around us that otherwise aren't going to get met. And we can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to just do it in the name of a hospital or healing. We do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do have hospitals. We do have schools. We do have other things that we do in the communities that help bring and focus people on why we do it. And that's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We want to demonstrate that same love that He had for the multitudes. As He went about the villages, as we read already, He went about the villages healing people. So in Togo, we have two hospitals that God has raised up. And He's brought Christian doctors and nurses to work with us in those hospitals. Now, American doctors, bless them, we can't live without them, can we? But they live a wonderful life here. We're all dependent upon them. And you probably don't realize it, but you are just one of very few people who are dependent on that one doctor that serves you and a group of people. But when it comes to countries like Togo, there are literally thousands and thousands of people dependent on one doctor. How would you like to wait in line when your number to see the next doctor is number 93? How would you like to be in a waiting room and knowing that you're the 93rd person that's going to be able to see that doctor today? We probably wouldn't put up with it, would we? And yet that is what happens in many places when you have a ministry like our Hospital of Hope near where the Drakes serve with Hope Radio. There's a waiting list and a waiting line of people, and the numbers can get up all the way up to 100 of people waiting to see the doctor that day. Now what do? The doctor obviously can't see that many people. Our medical teams can't do that. So we do a triage. Triage is simply we go down that list and we find the ones who are the sickest. And we pull them out of the line and we bring them to the front and let them be at the front so that we can minister to them with medicine and help them. But let's say you're still that number 93. How does that make you feel? Pretty bad, right? We have people who actually sleep on the street outside of our hospital for 2 to 3 weeks waiting to be seen by a doctor because their number is 93. They're not as urgent. Maybe it's an ingrown toenail. I don't know. That's not as urgent as a heart attack. Not as urgent as having cancer. Not as urgent as some of these other things. But if you have an ingrown toenail, you're going to want to see a doctor, right? I mean, that's painful. That needs somebody's attention. Somebody who knows what they're going to do when they see it. Because I don't know what to do with it. And when you are number 93, you wait. You wait. You wait. And we don't just let people sit in this long line all day long for several days. We have chaplains who go out and meet with them and talk with them, share the gospel with them, tell Bible stories, show Bible visuals to the people, the children that are in line. And many of them, they hear the gospel for the first time because they had to wait to see a doctor. America here, we don't wait to see a doctor too often. Sometimes it gets long, but, you know, typically we can see a doctor pretty fast. And we can get our number to see him within a time frame. We don't have to sit on the street in the hot sun for several days. Does that make sense that we can do that in the name of Jesus? Bring health care to these people in the name of Jesus because He loves them. And that's part of this value that we have. Our dependence upon the Lord by praying, trusting the sufficiency of Scripture, exercising faith on the part of those who are ill, and applying biblical missional best practices. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. If somebody would read that for me. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 11.
Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ.
Thank you. So I don't have to be the doctor to get all the glory when somebody sick comes to our hospital. I can be the chaplain. I can be the one who helps point him to Christ in the waiting room. I can be the nurse who helps prepare that patient for the doctor to do whatever the doctor needs to do. So it's a team effort, working together to see that people are reached with the gospel, whether you're a builder or a mechanic or a Bible teacher or a school teacher. Yes, those are ways that we can impact people with the gospel. So that is something that ABWE values very, very much. At this time, we're going to see a video. Healthcare workers, Christian healthcare workers that would be interested in helping a team that is making an impact in a large area. Today there are probably 40 to 50 churches just in the immediate area around the hospital that have been planted because of the hospital. Now, I went to Togo. How many churches did I plant? Six? I didn't see 40 or 50. But a hospital working together with other believers, with national believers, we can see many more churches established. And these are people who didn't come looking for the gospel. They didn't come looking to find Jesus. They came because they had a health problem. And we were able to meet that need. So let's go on to the fourth value that we have. And that is that we fully understand that the field is the world. It's not just Brooklyn. It's not just Harrisburg where we live. It is the world. That's the field, the harvest field that Christ is talking about. The fields are white unto harvest. The fields are the world. Nations out there. In Sunday school, we talked about some of those unreached nations. That's where the future harvest is going to be. We need help to reach those people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 16. Somebody would read that for me. John chapter 10, verse 16.
And I have other sheep who are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Thank you. So I'm going to say this to your pastor, if this were Jesus speaking to you, and he is. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them. So where are these other sheep that he's talking about? You have a fold of sheep right here. You've got a shepherd. You've got a group here, but there's other sheep and people out there that need to come also to Christ. So, folks, don't be content to say, this is it. This is our church, East End Baptist Church. This is it. We can be here until Christ returns. No. Christ says, I have other sheep that must also come. So what are we doing about those other sheep that need to be in the fold? There are believers in other countries that need to have a shepherd, that need to have their church like East End Baptist Church has a church. You meet faithfully, regularly. They're looking for that kind of a shepherd over there. And Jesus wants them to come into a local church where they can grow. So the last value that we have, value number five, is we willingly commit to the missional example of Jesus. And we've already read some of those verses. But if you want to look at a verse for me, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. 9, 35 through 38. and also Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. 2, 5 through 11. And then we're going to close. I think we've had a good missions weekend here, but somebody would read these verses for me. Matthew 9, 35 through 38.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Philippians 2, 5 through 11.
And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you. In closing, I want to show you two videos. One, the video of our hospital again, and there's no words used in this video. So you have to watch it and make your own story, okay? And then the closing video will be one of general life and needs in West Africa.
My name is Ifeifo Muftar. I was born and raised in Ghana. I used to be a devout Muslim and an Islamic youth activist. But now, I am a committed and an ardent follower of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for our Muslim brethren, whom Christ died for on the cross of Calvary. We pray for total transformation of our people by the gospel of Jesus. God, set many Muslims, especially the youth, free from bondage of fear and doubt. Grant them the spirit of boldness to step into your grace of eternal life through Christ Jesus and experience your authentic love and the Holy Spirit. God, many Muslims genuinely are seeking to know the path of righteousness, but your word has revealed Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding to see Jesus as the straight way and the path to eternal life. We ask that many Muslims in this region will have an authentic encounter with Jesus in their dreams. We pray that many Muslims who practice folk Islam to discover the power of Christ and His resurrection. We pray for the many Muslims who are facing droughts and famine in their region and are dying for lack of food and water. We pray that, Lord, you will provide for them according to your riches and glory. Lord, the perennial conflict between Fulani herdsmen and indigenous farmers in the whole of the West Africa region is a very worrying phenomenon. We pray that the church will show the way and become an example demonstrating God's love among the Fulani, that through this love, many Fulani people will embrace Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that you will intervene with terrorists such as Boko Haram, who are killing innocent lives and destroying millions of properties. We pray for your mercy and forgiveness for each and every person associated with these terrorist groups, and that they will encounter God's love and repent. We also pray for those who are going through diverse trials in their marriages, in their families. And Lord, we also pray for those who are sick and are needing healing. Lord, may you touch all of them with your healing power and set them free. We also take the opportunity to thank you for those who already know Jesus and pray that they will become witnesses in their Muslim communities and put their faith in the cross of Christ alone for their protection. Thank you, Lord, for answering all our prayers. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Can we just, in these quiet moments, pray for the Fulani, pray for Togo, for Hope Radio, for the Hospital of Hope. We thank you, Father, for presenting to us such amazing needs. We stand and are in awe of the blessings that we have right here in Brooklyn, New York. How blessed we are. In the eyes of most of these people that we've seen on these pictures, each one of us would be considered as a very wealthy person. We have clothes for today and tomorrow and next week, and we have plenty of food, and we have the gospel, and we have the Bible. Oh God, we give you thanks. Purge from us complaining, griping, lack of gratitude, and fill our hearts with gratefulness to Jesus. With our heads continue to be bowed, I have two questions. One is, perhaps you're here and you've not yet trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe this doesn't even totally make sense to you, why people would go to a distant place for the gospel. It's because we all, whether we're in Brooklyn or Togo or North Korea, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten Son, to die on the cross. And he rose again the third day. And if we will call on him, we will be saved. So my first question is, are you here today and you see your need? You've not yet trusted Christ, but you say, I want to be saved. I want to know Christ as my Savior. I want to have my sins forgiven. Then right there where you sit in your heart to God, say, God, I know I've done bad things, but I believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and I'm asking you to save me. Is there anyone with an upraised hand? You just raise your hand up and say, that's exactly what I've done today. I've admitted my sin to God, and I've, in the depths of my heart, believed in Jesus as my Savior. And I've asked him to save me. Would you just slip up your hand that I could see it? I've asked Jesus to save me today, to give me eternal life, forgive my sins. Then my second question is this. For every believer, and I trust that all of us are believers. My question is this, would you be willing to say to God, I am open to consider going somewhere else for the gospel. I'm not asking you to make a commitment that you'll go to Togo or to Afghanistan or to Bolivia or even to Jamaica. I'm just saying, Lord, I am open to consider the possibility of going somewhere else. I'm open to your leading and your directing me. Maybe you've told the Lord this many times, but how many would just raise your hand to say, yes, I am open to going somewhere else for the gospel? Would you just slip up your hand, their heads bowed? Amen. Anyone else? I'm open to going somewhere else for the gospel. Yes. Amen. 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 I would like to challenge everyone to think about that. Jesus came from heaven to earth. What a blessing for us to be able to say, Lord, I'm open. I'm open. Dear Father, you've seen these hands, and you know each heart. And Lord, you know the hearts that would have to say, I'm not open. That's really not for me. And I just pray, Lord, that you would work on every single one of us, that we would be willing to say, I'm open. And to not say, well, but this, but this, but that, but he, but she, but them. No, but we'd be willing to just say, Lord, I'm open. And I pray, Lord, what Jesus told us to pray, to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And Lord, send someone right here from East End Baptist Church. We give you thanks and praise. Bless these who have said, I'm open. And show them your will and your way. And Lord, I pray that all of us will be currently involved in evangelizing, sharing the gospel, and watching you work. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.